Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Superchargers, headlights, and more? With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JOHN. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is happening, my people? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. Live here on Friday. Well, actually, I recorded on Thursday, but you're probably listening on a Friday. So here's the deal. Pro days galore. The top wide receiver in the draft, Malik Nabor, sure threw his hat in the ring. Obviously, he did in the fall with his play, but then again with his workout at the LSU Pro Day in front of a ton of GMs and coaches. Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and Drake May have worked out the last 24 hours. So we'll discuss a little bit when it comes to workouts. Some Purdy conversation with a contract. Eric Armstead, not happy, felt disrespected. So we'll talk a little about some 49ers news. And then Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh, someone said they yelled at each other. Woody Johnson called it BS. It's just always something with the Jets, man. Then the NFL is going to auction off the Christmas games. You better open that checkbook if you want to get that inventory. So we'll talk a bunch of football stuff, Fugazi Friday, and Middlecoff Mailbag as well. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. DMs wide open. Fire in my DMs, at John Middlecoff, DMs. Get your question answered here on the show. It's Easter this weekend, so hopefully you guys have a good time with family. Enjoy yourself. I think your boy's gonna use a little prime rib on a Traeger. Invite some people that are familyless over to our house, some friends, and just see if I got the skills on the Traeger to do my first prime rib. So I'm excited for that. It reminds me, I got to call the butcher. But other than that, you guys know the drill. If you listen on Collins' feed, fire to the Three and Out feed. We had Go Low came out yesterday. Some thoughts on the current state of golf. It's all on YouTube as well. So subscribe to the YouTube channel and appreciate everyone that has thevolume.com. We have merch. Check out Three and Out hat. I'm actually wearing one right now. But again, happy Easter. Enjoy the weekend. But before we dive into some football, you guys know the drill. My friends, at game time, Sweet 16 tonight. Do you live in New York City? Do you want to go to one of these games? Do you live wherever these venues are going on? Do you want to go to any event? College, pro, comedy shows, concerts. We got you covered. Just download Game Time, the official ticketing app of this podcast. And when you download the Game Time app, here's what I need you to do. Promo code John, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, $20 off. $20 off your first pair of tickets. I've gone to a ton of events. I didn't even realize Manfred, he's not exactly Mr. Marketing, opening day. I like baseball. I swear to God, if you would have told me opening days next week, Saturday, Thursday, I had no clue. And then I turned on social media and it's just guys hitting home runs, guys striking out. I was like, hey, you want to go to a baseball game? Do it on us. Download the Game Time app, promo code John, save $20. Pro days. I've always been a believer in do what you're good at. What the advice I always give to any young person asking here is like follow your passion, because you're usually going to be better at your passion. You're going to put more time into it. Now, some of us are just more natural at stuff, right? Like Emeril Lagasse, no matter how much time I spend in a kitchen, I'm never going to be able to, you know, prepare a better dish than him, right? It's just not going to be possible. Some people are better at negotiating deals than others. Obviously, not all of us have the intellectual capacity to be a doctor or a lawyer, but I'm a huge believer when you figure out what you do well, quadruple down on that thing as you get older professionally. And I never understand why people at pro days, even high-level prospects, don't work out. Like, if you're a good athlete, you should want to work out. It's a time to shine, right? It's a time to impress people. If me or you worked out, obviously it wouldn't look great. We're not great athletes. No one wants to see us run and jump. But if I was a high-level college player and my team had a pro day, even if I was a consensus top 10, top 15 pick, why wouldn't I want to run and jump? Things I do well. Now, I understand Marvin Harrison, his dad, which I've been told is like all this stuff stupid, and he's not totally wrong. This is not going to dictate one way or the other, you going 6th or you going 30th. But like Marvin Harrison, who's dominated college football for the last couple years, getting open on everyone, wouldn't he want to display his physical characteristics in front of the decision makers? What's the most important thing for any sales guy? Don't waste time with people that can't make decisions. You always want to get in front of the decision maker. I've been an area scout. I've gone through these schools. I was never the decision maker. I can give my opinion on stuff, but you wanted to get in front of Howie Roseman, Andy Reid, right? Well, I'm watching these pro days the last couple of days with the quarterbacks, Jaden, Drake May, Penix. And it was like this with Caleb, and all these GMs and all these coaches are in attendance. Well, in a draft room, who's the person that says thumbs up or thumbs down on a pick? It's not the scouts. It's not the college directors. It's those guys. And Malik Nabers yesterday, and I heard some scuttlebutt around LSU that he was like, okay, you know, you want to see who the number one wide receiver is? Watch this, fellas. He went out and he ran a 4.35, and he jumped like 42 inches. Malik Nabers, a lot like Marvin Harrison, did not need to do anything. Was not necessary. His film is dominant. And let's face it, in a much better defensive conference in terms of NFL athletes at defensive back than the Big Ten. And again, I'm not trying to act like this is the end-all be-all. But one guy who is widely viewed by many teams as the best wide receiver prospect said, fuck it. You want to watch me run a 4.35? Take my shirt off. Have at it, boys. Get those clocks out. Where's the vertical setup? I plan on jumping out the gym. And I just don't understand. Like, I give credit to these quarterbacks, right? Caleb did not need to work out, but he did. Why? Because he throws the football well. Why would you not want to work out? It'd be like if someone asked me, hey, John, we're interested in hosting a show with you and Bill Belichick during the season. Every Sunday or every Monday before Monday night football. Be like, wait, I just talk football with Bill Belichick? Good at talking, no football. I'm in. I wouldn't even hesitate. Now, if you had, hey, do you want to open for Dave Chappelle on improv night on Wednesday? I'd be like, yeah, it's probably not a great idea. If you wanted Marvin Harrison to do something he wasn't comfortable doing, I'd get it. Like, this is stupid. This doesn't make any sense. Wait, you just want me to run and run routes and catch the ball in front of guys? It's literally my greatest attribute currently in life in terms of professionally. Like, this is what I do at an elite level. I don't understand guys that push back, and I don't think it's a great idea. And listen, I don't know ultimately which guy is going to go ahead of others, but Malik Nabers put on a show. And most people would tell you there is not some clear one and two. If anything, these two guys are neck and neck, and a lot of teams, from what I've heard, might have Nabers above them. And he didn't hesitate to work out. Rightfully so. He's fast. He's a freak athlete. Why would you not? When you think about the great wide receivers over the years, they love working out. Why? It's like when college teams, high school teams, the pro teams, when you do the conditioning tests, do you know who dreads those? The fat guys. Why? Because it's difficult. It's hard to run conditioning tests when you're a 310-pound offensive guard or defensive tackle. That's a challenge. You know who didn't? The wide receivers and the DBs. Why? Because they're way more athletic, and even if they're out of shape, they can still handle 99.9% of athletic testing stuff. So I think it was a mistake, and I applaud Nabers for just doing what he's good at, running and jumping. That's literally going to be his job. We know all these guys can catch the football. So listen, when Nabers goes above Marvin Harrison, if that's the way it plays out, is it because of this pro day? No, it's not. But if you don't think putting on a show in front of all the decision makers that are drafting from 4 to 12 matters, you'd be pretty naive. You really would. These guys didn't just fly there to fucking have the gumbo, right? They flew there to watch these guys. And it's when you do something positive, that can only help. And when you're a great athlete, doing these pretty remedial things relative to what you do on a football field should be a no-brainer. And, like, listen, when I watch these quarterback workouts, and I watched a little bit last night. We had dinner cleaned up. She was like taking a bath. I'm like, yeah, oh, the pro day replay. So I watched a little, kind of boring. Like, you're not getting the quarterback, whatever. Honestly, even with the wide receiver, I know all these guys can run routes. I am pretty impressed when a guy runs a 4.35. Like, yeah, I knew he was fast. He's really fast, right? I knew he was an explosive guy. He's really explosive. He's what we say in the business, a freak show. And that was impressive. But when you watch these quarterbacks roll out, underthrow, overthrow, complete pass, I don't care. I mean, none of this is real football. When you play a football game at quarterback, you have four or five guys chasing you and other guys being covered. So when you're just playing pitch and catch, you're not getting anything out of that. Like, that, you stand much more on the tape when it comes to the quarterbacks. Now, one thing I saw that was really impressive, I'm not going to lie, and I'm biased. Like, I tend to root for West Coast people. And I know Michael Penix isn't technically from the West Coast, but he became a star at the University of Washington. And I'm a sap for the Pac-12, even though it no longer exists. I think a lot of people comp Penix, and I kind of did too, to like a Tua, right? He's really a pocket passer, and the Tua one's easy because they're both left-handed. Throws a beautiful deep ball, but he's not Mr. Scramble guy. And that's never how he's played. Now, part of it was at Washington, they had, a lot like Michigan, an elite offensive line. So he wasn't getting touched that much. He had a lot of time in the pocket, and he picked you apart. But I think when that happens, and I know it did with Tua, you're like, well, Tua's not a very good athlete. Tua can't scramble, really, if he wants to. I mean, he can move, but he's not by any means a runner. And he is not a guy that is going to be potent on the ground. he didn't run a 40 coming out because he was injured with the hip. But I think we all agreed, like, Tua's not super fast. It's not really his game. Now, it never was Michael Penix's game these last couple years at Washington. I know some people said before he got injured, he was much more of a dual threat quarterback when he was really, really young at Indiana. I'd be lying if I said I knew who he was at the time. But obviously these last couple years, off the different injuries he's had, he's just a pocket passer. And then today he goes out, and I know NFL Network, I think, tweeted and Instagrammed out that he ran a 4.55 or something, or a 4.45. I talked to a couple scouts that were there that got him like 4.53, 4.54, which is an excellent time. Like, that was a very, very impressive time for Michael Penix. Like, he can run. I mean, that much is pretty clear. And he also jumped 36 and a half inches. Michael Penix is a really good athlete. So he is viewed, because of his play style, as a pocket quarterback. And that's all you can go off of. The way he played in college, pocket quarterback. Caleb, dual threat. Jaden Daniels, definitely dual threat. Even Drake May, scramble a lot more. You watch Michael Penix, you go, that's a pocket quarterback. And then you see this, you're like, well, he actually can move a lot. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't questions with him. The injuries, the way he played against Michigan, which was basically an NFL team, it was hard for him. It rattled him. I'm definitely rooting for him. I wouldn't just bet my career on drafting him. But when you have the film that he does over a couple year span, and then you have the athletic testing, I know I've talked to buddies that have him in the second round. I think this guy's going to end up going in the top 20. When you factor in the position he plays, when you factor in his super high character guy, when you factor in how beautiful his deep ball is, and let's face it, these teams are desperate. And one thing we've learned over the years is quarterbacks get overdrafted. I mean, Kenny Pickett and Mac Jones, to me, historically, with their physical attributes, are like third or fourth round picks. Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick. The hell's the difference between him in college, Mac Jones, and Kenny Pickett? Well, the inflation in recent memory has driven guys up. It's part of the deal, right? You want a house right now. You can go on Zillow all you want and go, God, they paid $400,000 for this house in 2017. No one cares. It's 2024, and that house is now listed for 1.1. So if you want it, you better be in that vicinity or don't even waste your time. And I think that's the reality with Michael Penix. We can nitpick him apart, and that's the right thing to do. That's part of the process. But he's going to go higher than any of these people that are down on the guy. I promise you that. And other than that, like, you know, Jaden Daniels, you see Daboll, you see all these guys there, Antonio Pierce, Sean Payton sending contingents. It's pretty clear where all these quarterbacks are going. I think it would be very, very shocking for, I don't know exactly who's going to go where, but I think we got a pretty good idea who's going to end up with a quarterback by the end of halfway through the draft, right? Obviously, the first three teams going to have quarterbacks. Minnesota, going to have a quarterback. The Giants, a little bit of a wild card, because if you're Daboll, like, there's some pressure on you to win. So do you want one of these wide receivers? Denver, the Raiders. Like, I don't think there are going to be some big shockers coming when it comes to all this.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch. Had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/john. That's linkedin.com/john to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Speaking of quarterbacks, Jed York, you know, all these owners at the owners' meetings, I don't know if they're actually obligated to talk to the press, but most of them do a scrum with their local reporters. It's like kind of throwing them a bone. And Jed, who does not talk much, maybe twice a year, like most owners avoid giving any statements because in fairness, no matter what they say, becomes very polarizing, becomes a headline, and gets twisted as we go. Every comment they have. Hell, Robert Kraft was like, yeah, what was up with that documentary? It's like, Robert, you fucking produced the thing, right? John Mara is like, they can draft a quarterback if they want. And then everyone's like, well, are you guys drafting a quarterback? Your owner wants you to draft a quarterback. So it's, I get why they just let the coach and the GM do all the talking when it comes to football. We'll talk about the business, the stadium and stuff. But for the most part, I want to avoid. Some of these guys, you get them talking, though, they're no different than me and you. They got opinions. They got thoughts. I mean, this is not just their passion. This is their life, right? This is what makes them famous. So Jed's asked about the quarterback situation. And he basically said, like, obviously, when your quarterback is the highest paid guy on your team, that's usually a good thing. Alluding to, they're going to pay Brock Purdy a lot of money, potentially, at the end of next year. And my entire take on contracts in general is why we're always in such a big rush to pay people. Like, Patrick Mahomes, after year three, he'd won an MVP, he was clearly a superstar, he had been to an AFC championship, he had won the Super Bowl. You just watched him, you're like, this is a second coming, like Brett Favre mixed with Aaron Rodgers. And then a lot of players are not Justin Jefferson, are not Trent Williams, are not Aaron Donald. Like, God, I've never seen anything. Most guys, even the good ones, are like, oh, let's see you do it again. And I, the moment the Super Bowl happened, or really this, as the Super Bowl run happened with the 49ers, no matter what happened with Purdy, he could have thrown 50 touchdowns, you know, in December in the playoffs, and the Niners win the Super Bowl, and they blew everyone out, he still would have been a polarizing player next year. Because they'd be like, well, can he do it again? What's he actually worth? And if he had flopped, right, if they had lost that game against the Packers or lost that game against the Lions, everyone would have crushed him. But it was all going to be determined in 2024. What does he look like this year? Does he have another season where he's clearly one of the best NFC quarterbacks? Because if he has 2.5 seasons of playing like one of the better NFC quarterbacks, the reality is his value is not really arguable. Now, I would say, like, I would struggle, and I get the cap keeps going up. Like, I'm not very comfortable, unless he's my homegrown all-pro guard, giving free agent guards $17, $18 million. Because I don't think the margin for error is very big there. I'm signing this guy just because he's a free agent. I'm giving him a 30 or 40% markup. And then if he is just an average or above average guy, we're at a disadvantage. He better be a top 4 or 5 player at his position or I'm misallocating funds. It's no different than that with quarterbacks. Like, listen, I like Dak Prescott. He's a very good quarterback. But once you start paying him premiums, like, it's a lot of pressure on it. And listen, Dak has been very successful during the regular season. He just hasn't gotten it done in the playoffs. He's going to have, you know, when you look back at his career, it's going to be defined if he's ever able to get over the hump, but he's going to be very rich, have a ton of Pro Bowls, and been a very, very good starting quarterback for the Cowboys. I think the hard part with Purdy, a little like Dak early on, was like he gets to inherit this great team. Now, I've said forever, if you watch the 49ers and you can't watch and say, this guy's really good, then we don't have anything in common with football. But there's a difference between like, I watch the guy, he's really good. It's like, are you comfortable giving him $200 million guaranteed? Because that's a whole nother conversation. And a lot of people have talked, Purdy's best attribute has not been his contract. It's been his play. He's been excellent. But obviously, the ability to have a $850,000 quarterback, you know, it is a huge curveball for your organization to build out. Like, no one else in the league has that right now. Even the other top young quarterbacks make a decent amount of money. C.J. Stroud was a second pick in the draft. Sounds like a $35 million contract. And his yearly numbers are like 8.5, 9, 7, like in that range, right? Purdy is, even if C.J. Stroud, I haven't have his contract up, is making $8 million next year in his second season, Purdy is $8 or $7 million cheaper. Like, that's a player or two. And I just think we're too quick to rush. Let's just see it play out. And if this year doesn't go as well, and he kind of takes a step back, then we got another year under contract. If he goes out and he wins the MVP and the 49ers finally win the Super Bowl, then yeah, you don't have a choice. But sometimes when you just let like 1 year, and that's basically what this is. Now, I know he was good that first year, but like this year, start to finish, and this year's going to be different, right? Because there was a feeling out process. Everyone's gunning for the Niners. They're the NFC champs. No one is taking Purdy lightly. And listen, I've been saying this forever. The media is like thinks Purdy's very average. Andy Reid thinks he's good. Steve Spagnuolo thinks he's good. I watched Dan Campbell's press conference at the owners' meetings. He thinks he's damn good. So the league thinks he's really good. I think he's good. But before we pay large sums of money, and there's a difference. Like, would I pay him right now 4 years, $100 million? Yeah, wouldn't hesitate. Would I give him 4 years, $180 million? Yeah, we're talking something different then. So the money matters. Like, this is a business. Speaking of business, Eric Armstead was not pleased with the way he was disrespected, according to himself, with the way everything played out with the 49ers. And this is the hard part about the sport. Eric Armstead, team captain, team leader, high-end player. But when your salary doesn't equal your production slash games played, and you're an older player, we got a problem. Like, that was the issue. The reason they quote-unquote disrespected you, and it's not your fault, no one wants to get hurt, but when you're not available, and I'm paying you a premium, $16, $17, $18 million, it no longer adds up. So reports, I think based on him, said that they basically offered, you know, he's scheduled to make almost $18 million. They wanted him to make six, with incentives to get up to like 8 or 9. So basically taking a haircut in half. Like, I'm on Team Niners here. Like, that's the right move. And listen, you probably know he's going to say, yeah, not that interested. But that's part of being a healthy organization, is when you get a guy, even when you love them, of like, this is not adding up anymore. And I know the Jags offered him a lot of money, and he got paid. But there's a fine line. We're all human beings. And anytime you deal with anyone's money, whether you make 80 grand or whether you make $8 million, when you start talking pay cuts, we're all the narrator of our own story. It's going to piss us off. Even if we've underachieved, even if we haven't been available, no matter what. I don't blame anyone for being offended when your company comes to you and wants you to take less. Sometimes it's valid, though. Like, sometimes it makes sense. Like, you're not worth this price point anymore to us. It doesn't mean to someone else's situation, but to us, we can't pay you this. And I think the 49ers, which clearly was very hard on them, made the right decision. There was a story that Colleen Wolfe, who works for the NFL Network, which, as Mike Florio has pointed out, is owned by the 32 teams. This is not some independent organization that is just saying things to say things. This is the owners, like, call the shots when it comes to that organization. It's why if you're watching NFL Network, it's not going to be the most aggressive production when it comes to being critical of stuff. Players, yeah, but in terms of owners and operational stuff with the league, that's not going to be their style. So when it was reported on a NFL media podcast that Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson had an altercation, I saw that headline, I was like, damn, screaming at each other. Now, Woody Johnson comes out and says, unequivocally not true, disregard, fake news. I wasn't there. I don't know what to believe. But one thing that can't be argued, the Jets are kind of always a shit show. Right? If this had happened between like, hey, Dan, let's use this as an example. Dan Campbell and Brad Quinn were kind of yelling at each other. And then both of them were like, that never happened. It's like pretty clear they have a really good working relationship. Always been hunky-dory whenever we've seen them together these last couple of years. You'd be like, yes, that's kind of a weird report. That's probably not true. But if something happens with the Cowboys, you're like, yeah, Jerry and Mike, something's off. Kind of believable, right? Like, I'm sorry. One thing I've heard about Woody Johnson, not the easiest guy to work for. And I think it's pretty reflective in the organization's success over the last decade and a half. So did this happen? I don't know. Honestly, I don't really care. It does not matter. People argue all the time. Professionally, personally, welcome to the real world. I mean, Woody Johnson just said the other day that if we can't trade Zach Wilson, he's going to be on the team. It's like, the owner, what are you talking about? And I understand why. He doesn't want to cut him and eat that, whatever it is, $7, $8 million that you'd have to pay him. He wants no part of that, which I understand from just a dollars standpoint. Doesn't make sense. But from a football standpoint, you no longer can have the guy around. Like, it's over. He has no trade value. No one is trading anything for him unless either you eat the majority of the money and the only way he's on another team, which I would guess is everyone's hoping that you cut him. So obviously Woody's trying to like draw a line in the sand. But the story's believable. Why? Because it's the Jets. And sometimes when things come out about, right, certain players, you go, yeah, I can see that. You just see crazy stories sometimes about like Tyreek Hill. You're like, yeah, I don't know. Might be true. But then you see a story about certain guys like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. You're like, yeah, seems a little out of character. Sometimes perception is reality. Let's be real. A lot of times it is. And the Jets, they got a lot of weird shit going on. A lot of owners, that NFLPA report card that came out that gave a lot of them Fs about like their training room, their locker room, their cafeteria, were not happy. I think I saw, who was the owner? One owner said, I didn't write it down, that thought it was just like a media skeptical. Like, this isn't a constructive back and forth where you meet with the NFLPA and they go, hey, we got these negative marks for you. What's your opinion or how can you go about fixing it? It just gets released and then we all talk about it. And there were a lot of F minuses going around. I think I saw Josh Harris, who in fairness took over the team from Dan Snyder. I don't put any of this on him. Said he didn't even know an F minus was possible. That's what happens when you take over Washington. I do think here's the problem. And in my experience, I've only worked for one team. It was top notch. Jeffrey Lurie spends every dollar when it comes to improving anything, whether it's the draft room, whether it's training room, whether it's any facility, he'll cut a check. He's very pro money, do what we got to do. But this isn't college football. So a lot of these guys, if you're coming from LSU, if you're coming from Alabama, if you're coming from Georgia, if you're coming from Ohio State, if you're coming from Oregon, it's the Taj Mahal because they had to use that to recruit you. The recruiting in the NFL is like, it's your game check. It's, hey, I pay you $10 million a year, right? Sorry, our cafeteria isn't a little bigger. Now, it is bad business if you have a shitty weight room or your cafeteria doesn't have good food. Like, that's on you, right? Even Bidwell, I judge him for charging the containers for guys to take home. Like, what are you doing? But if you, like, don't like the chairs or if your locker room isn't glamorous enough, like, that's not this industry. This industry, it's completely different. And I would imagine for a lot of younger players who are now playing in Power 5 at all these big-time programs, they have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on the aesthetic of it all, right? But it's not like, do you need these flashing lights and seven lockers per guy with an Xbox and a TV screen in it? Probably not. And I would imagine a lot of NFL teams are like, this is kind of stupid. We're not going to do that. And there's a fine line. Like, if you're putting yourself at a competitive advantage, training-wise, lifting-wise, eating-wise, then you're bad at business. Like, you're a fucking moron, you're cheapskate. But if you're doing, if it's not hindering any player's ability to get better, to get the proper nutrition, to train, then I wonder if some of this stuff's a little overrated. And last but not least, before we dive into Fugazi Friday, is the NFL is going to auction off the Christmas games because it wasn't technically on the schedule, I think, of the media buy. And Pro Football Talk said that potentially like $50 million a game. So it's just an extra $300 million. So not only did they steal the real estate and the land from the NBA and basically render them irrelevant on that given day, they're profiting from it immediately. And let's face it, these networks are going to line up to pay that. Well, if you have people lined up and bidding, who's to say they can't get $75 million for each game and get $150 million of something that they just invented from nowhere that wasn't going to exist before? Free revenue. And this is what I think when Cuban said pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered when he talks shit, I do think there was an element of jealousy. And when you're on top, everything you do, you're able to monetize. And you're able to make more money when you're popular, right? And I think it pisses a lot of people off. The media, obviously, always, they hate it. They hate a lot of successful people when it comes to business. I don't know if they were like taught that as a kid. I don't know if they learned that in Big J journalism school. But their general take on any successful stuff when it comes to business is always like, oh, the corrupt capitalism. It's like, yeah, welcome to the real world. And the NFL has figured out a way to capitalize on this better than anyone. And I don't know if it's going to last forever. In the immediate future, all you can say is cha-ching.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Fugazi Friday. I had someone, he was a restaurant owner, who was like, you know, I come to podcasts for positive encouragement and uplifting. And all you guys on Fugazi Friday, it's such a negative complaint session. Turns out he was a business owner and he was mad about the tipping thing. It's like, one thing, and another guy's like, stop talking about tipping. It's like, guys, Fugazi Friday's not going anywhere. I'm going to try to pick some other Fugazi Fridays that aren't tipping related. I also think, for the most part, universally, everyone that interacted with this was not saying, like, I'm not going to tip if it's good service. The notion that you just have to tip without good service, that's what everyone was talking about. I think we've all been on the same page there. But I took some screenshots of some other ones. Fugazi Friday. The unsubscribe button process for spam emails has to be up there with the fakest thing ever. It doesn't matter how many times you do it, those emails are still coming. And starting a new email address to avoid the spam is harder than it sounds, with all the legitimate contacts and businesses who rely on reaching you through that email. That's a great point, because I have several times, like a lot of people, hit that little unsubscribe, and you can't keep track of every spam email you get, and then you realize, like, I unsubscribed from, you know, Restoration Hardware, or Nike Golf, or Dell Computers. It's like, they're just relentless. Now, I would say the good thing with email is I think we're so numb to just kind of moving through it. But like most people now, our businesses are pretty interconnected to getting emails and emailing people. And sometimes things get lost in the shuffle because you got so much clutter. One thing with a spam phone call, it's pretty easy. Like, yeah, I don't need to pick this up. Or if this is not spam and it's important, they can leave me a voicemail that I'll probably never listen to. But if they do, then I can figure out who it is and call them back if necessary. But I'm with you. The spam email situation. I wonder the percentage of business that is generated from spam emails, right? That actually a lead from a spam email turns into something. Now, sometimes it gets you, right? It's like, God, I thought I unsubscribed from Travis Matthew. And then you'll get one. You're like, 50% sale off all collared shirts and hats. Like, oh, shit, I'll buy some. Fugazi Friday. Since you're a golfer, when I pay $30 for a cart, and my girlfriend is with me, the cart costs $60. Nice guy of you to bring her on a little golf trip if she's not playing. But if I'm by myself, it costs $30. So really, it's $30 a seat on the golf cart. $60 for a cart is crazy. And I'm at a private club. We usually walk, but the concept is still there. I was going to defend the cart, Fugazi, because I was at TPC the other day, and I finished. I played early in the morning. I teed off at like 7:10, so I was done by 11:30. It was so bad, I was like, I'm going to go hit some golf balls. And I'm not trying to act like I'm Tiger Woods or anything, like I'm some grinder. But I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing, so I'm going to go to the range. Well, I got up to where the cart barn is, and I said, hey, and usually you just take a cart to go down there. Like, hey, can I take a cart? I usually just hop in. We don't even ask. But there was only a couple carts there. And I asked my guy, Casey, I'm like, can I just grab one of these? He's like, actually, we're out of carts. He's like, some days, you know, on super busy days, and a lot of the pros that come there practice, they all grab their own cart. Even sometimes they come together. He's like, we just don't have any. So some of it is just based on inventory at these public courses. Like, they just don't have enough golf carts for how many people are playing. The private course thing, that's pretty absurd. That's crazy. Now, if they were charging you for your own cart and you can't bring them, It's one thing. A lot of these private courses charge you a fee to just drive your own cart. Like my brother, who lives on a golf course, has his own cart, can drive up and plays on his own cart. But he still pays, I think, like $100 a quarter or $200 a quarter. Again, they're running a business too. But getting charged per person in your cart at a private course, I agree, that's a little outrageous. John, I live in a state run by liberals. In addition to a recent ban on plastic bags, Fugazi, we also have a ban on flavored tobacco. Tobacco. It was presented under the Fugazi of preventing the sale of menthol cigarettes to minors. Yet they also banned flavored Zyn pouches. Clearly, Zyn is not tobacco. No, it's not. It's nicotine. They sell flavored Nicorette gum. What's next? Flavored liquor? I know I was playing golf with a guy the other day, and I offered him a Zyn on like the second hole. And he's like, don't worry about it. I got my own. And then we started talking as the round went on. This guy lives in Southern California. And California has banned flavored Zyns. Now, and like you said, their idea, again, like a lot of these states that ban stuff, they overregulate everything, is against, you know, minors having the ability to buy them. So this guy said he was going to buy like several logs of the flavor he likes to take it back. I didn't realize flavored Zyns were banned until my brother and I were talking. He's like, yeah, I don't have the ability to get the coffee Zyns here. I'm with you. That's some of these ideas. This is why, like, I don't even know. It's just, it's beyond stupid. The nitpicking on things that make absolutely no sense. I'd like to see the data too. Like, how many youth is trying to buy the flavored Zyns? Also, isn't the Zyn nicotine has a lot of positives for you? Like, the one thing with tobacco I get, right? The cancerous, the fiberglass, it's not good for you, chewing tobacco. Now, I never chewed because it just didn't, like a lot of my friends did growing up, a lot of my friends still do. It never worked in my body. Like, it just kind of made me sick. Even for as much as I wanted to do, like in high school, to be cool or whatever, I could never do it. Couldn't stomach it. The Zyns are incredible. I mean, I've been going through like a 10 a day. They're not really a 10. They're plastic, but you know what I mean. California, man. You never know what they're going to ban and allow. And they're usually on the opposite ends of the spectrum of like, this makes no sense and neither does this. That's why your boy's in Arizona. For Fugazi Friday, I go to a gym where at one point I used to grab a protein shake after every workout. Those protein shakes were $5 and have jumped to $8. I love these shakes, but not as much as a Starbucks coffee. Here's a reality. My gym, I guess the last two gyms I've worked at have had a cafeteria. The one I had in the Bay Area, and now the one I have here in Scottsdale. And both of them had sweet protein shakes. I mean, they just fucking melt in your mouth. There's always a huge markup on those. There really is. It makes no sense if you're a protein shake guy. Now, I understand sometimes if you're working out in the morning and then going to the office, it's not like you can go home. If you are coming home after the workout, the amount of money, it's no different than buying coffee and not going to Starbucks. The bang for your buck is a dramatic gap between the two. So, yeah, sometimes you go to Starbucks, one, it's convenient, and two, sometimes you just don't want to make coffee. But we all know at this point in time the difference in cost. I did the other day, I got they have this Mocha Java smoothie that is like Mocha Java. I get peanut butter in there and has protein. It's excellent. It's elite. It's also $10. So I know every time I buy it, it's stupid that I bought it. But yesterday I really wanted one. And I also told them to throw in a shot of espresso. The smoothie was $14. So I could complain about it. But I'm not going to, because I've acknowledged, like the first time it's like you said, sometimes things jump, but hey, we live in like historically inflationary times. Like, what about the month data? No, over the last 3 years, I saw something the other day that a lot of goods and services have generated a jump between 20 to 25%. And I was listening to a finance podcast that talked about like, typically everything constantly goes up over a period of time. You know, the jump we've had historically would have been over like a 7 to 9 year period. It happened in like 24 months. It's jolting. But even if things are expensive at the store, it's still cheaper to do it, whether it's coffee instead of Starbucks, whether it's a protein shake instead of your gym. It's always going to be that way. It always is. Now, there's a convenience factor. Like sometimes, like, I don't really want to do the dishes. But that's lazy. That's me being lazy. Fugazi Friday for you. People who ride the elevator for one floor, unless you have a physical limitation, heavy baggage, like groceries and luggage, or kids to pack, take the stairs. The elevator should not be packed with people going up one story. I agree. I don't have anything to add there. Fugazi Friday. For the first time this year, now, what stair situation? That's always a question. Are there stairs? Are they easily accessible? For the first time this year, I tried watching the NBA. I turned on YouTube TV to watch the Lakers-Bucks game. I watched that the other night. LeBron just conveniently not playing. Lakers won anyway. And it was blacked out in my area. I try HBO next, and same thing. The NBA is a joke and doesn't even let people watch if they want to watch. Reason why the NFL is king. I've never had a blackout problem on my YouTube TV, any game. So I don't quite know what's going on there. I can't speak to it. I don't know if it's an NBA thing or more of a coverage thing. Sometimes the games are blacked out. Yeah, I don't know where you live. If you live in Milwaukee or LA, it's on the local broadcast, maybe, or vice versa. But to me, the blackout thing in general is like, I get we got contracts, I get we got rules, but in 2024, under no circumstance should any game ever be blacked out. Let the consumer consume. We got too many options. There's a million things to watch. If you give anyone a reason to like, oh, this is too big of a headache changing the channel, you've lost. And the loyalty, listen, the loyalty in my generation as a consumer has never been shorter, ever. So you got to figure that out. I can't speak to your exact problem, but happy Fugazi Friday.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is at the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Middlecoff mailbag. At John Middlecoff. Fire in those DMs. Instagram, wide open. Two Fs. Start with Clay. Question for the mailbag. Do you think Lane Kiffin ever gets another shot in the National Football League? Seems like he's matured. Or do you think he would leave for Bama and he's just content at the college level? It's a good question. He makes about $9, $10 million at Ole Miss. And he's turned them into a juggernaut. I mean, they're winning double-digit games. I saw something on my social media feed the other day. He thinks this is going to be one of their most talented teams. He's crushed the transfer portal. The Bama thing is clearly gone for the foreseeable future. You know, I think Kalen DeBoer is getting 3 years at minimum. So, you know, the job was just open, and it didn't feel like they wanted Lane. So to think that, I would never say never, but to me, Lane Kiffin probably is more likely to get LSU if Brian, anything weird would ever happen there. And let's face it, Brian Kelly's going to have pressure next year. I know he had the Heisman Trophy winner, but he went 9-3. In Florida, if Billy Napier doesn't win, he's getting fired. And to me, if you're Florida, this guy's killing it in the SEC. I think they would be all over Lane Kiffin. I wonder if Lane's just made for college. Like, it just works for him. He's good at the transfer portal. He's good at social media. He makes so much money now. I kind of, if I was a betting man, I think he's just in the SEC for a while. And I think you would, Florida is the most likely place if Billy Napier's fired. How do they, who would they want to hire over Lane Kiffin? Especially if he wins 10 plus games again. It's like, wait, this guy's doing this at Ole Miss? What do you think he'd do for you guys? Do you think the Bills can still win the AFC East next year? The last two seasons, the Dolphins has had 4-game leads and blew the division. That being said, the Bills lost a lot of key players and leaders in the locker room. What are your thoughts on how the division plays out? I haven't looked at the odds yet, but I would bet on the Bills. I would be stunned if the Bills don't win it. Patriots are going to be god-awful. The Jets, I mean, just got a lot of issues nonstop. And I'm sorry, the Dolphins are just dramatically worse. They just are. I mean, they lost their second-best player. This is the Bills' division until they don't win it. How could you bet against them? And I know you guys have some holes. You have the best quarterback by a country mile. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is kind of an unknown right now. But Josh Allen compared to Tua, it's like having Steph Curry compared to, like, I don't know, the 18th best quarterback. Or, I mean, point guard. It's not a fair fight. The advantage you have with that quarterback over the Dolphins, who are clearly the second best team in the division, I would say is pretty wide. Here's a question. Tomorrow night, I'll be going to a baseball game at the Tokyo Dome while on vacation here. Are there any international sporting events you've been to or want to go to? Very excited. You know, a good friend of mine, Brian Hawkins, who played baseball at St. Mary's, the school that makes the NCAA tournament in basketball, one of his good buddies, who he played with in school, was like a fringe AAA guy, got a couple-year contract to go play in Japan. And him and some of his teammates went to go watch Kyle play and said it was one of the coolest experiences he's ever been a part of. This guy's been to SEC games, been to big college football, like he's been to other events. And so he's never seen anything like it. The Japanese baseball game, like the high level of it. I guess one inning, everyone blows up a balloon and they all let it go at the same time. They go to the top. So that'd be an incredible experience. I would say, would love to see the All Blacks play in New Zealand. I'd love to see a big EPL game right? Manchester City versus Manchester United, or, you know, some of that action. I haven't really thought about it. I would love to go to the British Open, the golf tournament at St. Andrews specifically. That'd be pretty sweet. But enjoy it. That's a cool life experience. I would love to go to Japan. I've heard incredible things about Japan. It's clean, safe, great food. It's just an awesome place. Right up my alley. Born and raised, KC resident and fan. We have it so great right now, and I'm living in a fairy tale. That you are. Podcast question. When you sit down to record, I'm curious what your process is start to finish. What software do you record on? What camera are you using for such high quality? I have a notebook, and before I've pressed record, I've obviously kind of put together a show of what's going on. I also have like kind of a running thing on my phone in terms of topics and angles and things that I want to talk about. So I don't just freelance once I hit record. So it's I spend, you know, I mean, in a sick way, every day, every hour thinking about it. And any idea comes in, I throw in. Obviously, certain days are easier than other days. In terms of recording, we have a pretty big setup here. My guy James flew in from Jersey, who is producer here on the show, and set it up. We got a Sony camera. I got this fancy mic. My production, in terms of before I send it off to my people, I just recorded on GarageBand. So, but the camera's, I think, pretty expensive, high-end Sony camera. They're just staring right at me. Got a lot of chefs in the kitchen here figuring this thing out. I wouldn't have known what to do. Before that, I just had one of those like $28 Yogis. I'm a big fan of the podcast. Appreciate your rants with Colin. I'm a Saints fan who got into the NFL in the first season of the Breeze-Peyton marriage. Good time to start. All I've known is high level. However, I've been so disappointed in the team's willingness to settle for mediocrity since the end of that era. I was out on Derek Carr signing from day one and can't believe that Dennis Allen still has a job. What on earth are they trying to achieve? I'm also disappointed with Mickey Loomis, as I imagine he'd know better than settling for mediocrity. Me and my girlfriend are currently searching for a rental in a town where the demand is much higher than the supply. It's challenging. The other day, we could have taken an apartment that was kind of okay, but far from ideal. Decent kitchen and living room, but zero storage space and no window bedroom. Later that day, I asked myself if taking this apartment would be like the Saints settling for Derek Carr. I know that it would be the most mediocre thing to do. I also asked myself, if I was an NFL GM and I was given the option of having Carr as my 100% guaranteed quarterback or a coin flip, would either land me Patrick Mahomes or Zach Wilson, which would I take? Well, obviously, I would flip the coin. So, I said no to the mediocre apartment, and now I'm left asking myself why the heck the Saints choose to do it. I think the difference in apartment hunting is, I don't know exactly where you live, but there are going to be a lot of options. Even if, like you said, the demand is higher than the supply, there are just going to be a lot of places you can find to rent out. Whether it's apartments, maybe a condo, maybe you can find some cheap house, guys. Like, they're just, with quarterbacks, they're just are not. And I guess what you're arguing is the thought of the unknown is better than knowing you get an average at best player. The problem is, in the coin flip analogy, like Patrick Mahomes isn't an option. So you're really looking at the coin flip. Would I flip a coin to just get a guy better than Derek Carr? Well, free agents, none of those exist, right? And in the draft, I forget last year, you guys didn't even have the pick. That was part of it. Didn't the Eagles have your draft pick? Am I off on my ears? I'm pretty sure the Eagles had your draft pick, right? If the Eagles didn't have your draft pick, maybe it's a different story. But I do think that had to play in to the fact. So I think they're simply looking at it like, could Derek Carr get us to the playoffs? And let's face it, that'd be a successful season. Clearly, answer year one's no. I do think that you should be more hopeful this year given the Kubiak signing. I just think your offense could be better. My guy Keith Williams, the wide receiver coach, is really good. So, like, Derek is what he is. When he plays really well, he's probably the 12th or 13th best quarterback. When he's bad, he's in the 20s. So can you just get like the 13th, 14th best quarterback out of him, and can you win 10 games? That's what the Bucs figured out with Baker Mayfield. I feel you, though. Sucks. No one wants to watch a team where you feel like you're just kind of spinning your wheels. I think the other problem is when it comes to quarterback situations, a lot of teams are scared of the unknown. A lot of teams are scared of the unknown. And that's where your coin flip. Are you better off? Sean Payton was not. Like, just get Russell Wilson, we'll figure it out. Sean Payton has more confidence than, let's face it, Dennis Allen. Just use the game time code. Use to get some Orioles tickets for the opener. Have a good one, bro. You know the thing with the Orioles? I think they're pretty good now. Longtime listener. I heard you and Colin talking about Deion's comments with respect to his son, Shador, and Travis Hunter essentially controlling their own fate in the 25 draft. I'm a Cowboys fan. I went to school with Dak and have been following the team long enough to now to have a good sense for how Jerry and the front office will operate. When I heard Deion's comments about wanting to go to quote-unquote certain cities and nowhere cold, I immediately thought of Dallas. Jerry loves the bright lights and, of course, his personal affection for Deion. With Dak's potentially hitting free agency next year and their likely lower first-round draft slot, what are your thoughts on the likelihood of Shador to Dallas? Here's the thing with Shador Sanders. Obviously, early on in the season, he's talented. He's got a big arm. He's a good athlete. Comes from incredible genetics. I mean, but as the season went on, and we could argue their O-line sucked and they've made a change of coordinator. There was a lot going on. Like, to me, he is not some elite prospect right now. He's an intriguing prospect. Anytime you're an intriguing prospect, you don't get to dictate the terms of where you go. This is not the NBA, where team, you know, agents and players have been doing it forever. The NFL never operates like that. It's happened twice, kinda. I mean, ultimately, the Chargers got Phillip Rivers and some picks, right? Or no, was that Drew? Yeah, no, it was Phillip Rivers. So I don't know. I think we're so far away. Let's just see how the guy plays this year. Let's see how he plays. Because the colder weather cities, like, isn't he playing in Denver? That's what I told Colin. Colder weather cities, isn't Denver freezing cold? I think sometimes, you know, in Deion's perspective, Deion's an all-time great. Dominant, elite, ass-kicking player. Could have played any era, anytime, anywhere, and dominated. Like, is that Shador Sanders? Maybe it turns out to be. But it feels like he put a lot of pressure on him. Now, they like the pressure. I get it all. And I'm pro Deion. Because for all the talk with Deion, Deion's old school, which I appreciate about him. But I do think it's a lot of pressure to put on your son when your team, I mean, is your team any good? Because if your team's not that good, it's very challenging. The Dak situation, it's definitely a possibility. But I guess we'll see over the next, I don't know, couple months. Like, do they get a formal agreement or not? Do they just play the season out? Because if they just play this season out, then it's definitely an option. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the Jags' free agency spree and our upcoming draft needs. We're light on media coverage. I'd be lying if I knew your roster that well. I don't. The two free agent signings that come to my mind, Gabe Davis, which I saw Doug talking about at the owners' meetings. Obviously, you know, big body, can run. He's made some big plays over the years for the Bills. It's a guy that's used to being part of a winning operation. I totally understand that signing. And clearly they signed him knowing that, like, Calvin Ridley was kind of on the fence. Makes a lot of sense. Good signing. I like that signing. The Eric Armstead one, I get it, right? You keep doubling down on your defensive line. He's a really high character leader, comes from a winning operation, a lot like Gabe Davis. So if you just look at it like, if we get the most out of these two guys, we're not getting these guys from random teams. Like, these guys have been used to going to the playoffs every single year. The thing with Eric, he just can't stay on the field. He's had plantar fasciitis. He's had knee issues. He's huge. The one thing with Armstead, he's not like the biggest guy in the NFL in terms of weight. He might just be, I mean, just when you stand next to him, there has to be a short list of human beings that feel bigger than Eric Armstead. He's fucking massive. 6'7", 300 pounds. He's got to be one of the best looking guys getting off the bus in the league. Trent Baalke drafted him, so it wasn't really shocking. If they keep him on the field, positive addition. If he can't stay healthy, which sometimes older linemen struggle with, it's going to be a problem. I become what seems to be a three times a day now, daily listener. However you plan your content, you truly do it in a perfect way how I consume my day. First, with the Ohtani news scandal breaking, it makes me wonder if league officials feel like the direction of gambling has taken sports as less, more, or the exact public headache as they expected. Are they just waiting for an old school minds in the public to change and not be concerned, or do they think generally fear a game-shattering gambling scandal? Well, there's still a lot of unknown in the Ohtani story. One historic story with gambling has been players on the take, right? Like back in the 20s. It happened in college I remember watching the Netflix documentary, I think in the early 90s at Arizona State, one of their star players, you know, was he wasn't throwing the game, he was just making sure the spread was either covered or not. In the NFL, in basketball, in Major League Baseball, do you know how much money these players make? Right? So the star players, you couldn't buy LeBron James, Steph Curry, Ohtani, a player that makes $30, $40, $50 million, Mahomes. They make too much money. Well, what happened in the NBA? A two-way contract guy was hammering his unders. Yeah, he'd be the small percentage of the type player that I guess you could buy. Even in football, with the prop bets, you can't, like if I'm a random running back, I don't control how many touches I get. So there's nothing, or targets I get. I guess I could drop a ball on purpose if I was a wide receiver, but in the NFL, you might get cut. So I think football has to worry about that less. You know, the NBA with the player props and just some of these shitty teams that have these two-way players making no money. But even a two-way player in the NBA, what are you making, $1 million? And he's like giving his buddies heads up for unders for $10,000 bets. Now, the referees are always something you have to keep an eye on. Because anytime I can get a guy making a couple hundred grand, well, what if I can give him 50 grand? 50 grand to most pro athletes in the major sports is not much. But to a ref who makes 175 or 225 grand or 100 grand might makes you think. So to me, the referees and the umpires are the guys that you have to keep an eye on. I'm less worried about the players, definitely not worried about the coaches. I do think with the players, you know, Calvin Ridley got caught, he got suspended for a year. The dude on the Raptors, Porter, Michael Porter's brother, like he's going to get banned for life. It's just not worth it. But I do think the referees, they're someone you just have to keep close eyes on, really. To me, Ohtani, I don't know if he was betting or not. I mean, it kind of feels like he probably was. Maybe he was getting robbed. I just don't care. I really don't. If you told me he bet against himself on games he was pitching, I would acknowledge, like, that's pretty crazy. But unless that comes out, or betting on the Angels, I can't pretend to care. I really don't. And this notion, I've heard so many people say it, of like gambling ruining sports. I heard Bill Simmons talking about it. There's been gambling scandals forever. We gamble, right? In every facet of life. People do. Athletes do. Businessmen do. Not just on sports, on life. If you put money in the stock market, you're kind of gambling. If you're betting on games, you're taking educated guesses. I'm a free society guy. Get to do what you want. Obviously, if you work in an industry, there are regulations, right? You can't inside trade. But I'm a big believer in like, yeah, people are going to make mistakes. Most people that are breaking the rules or laws, like, kind of know what they're doing when they're doing it. Like, not many of them are like, yeah, I was kind of naive to the fact that, you know, they know what they're doing. So I'm not as fazed by, oh, the gambling. Oh, it's so accessible on your phone. I didn't know this. Colin said The average bet's $4. You know? Most people aren't betting that much money.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.